It seems like the old global warming crowd seems to be breaking down a little bit. That's my feeling. Am I pretty close?
Oh, you're very close. And of course, the public polls showing that the public are not buying it anymore. In fact, it's broken down completely because Phil Jones, who is the director of the Climatic Research Unit, where the emails were leaked, has now, in an interview with the BBC, completely refuted the major claims for human CO2 and humans causing climate change. And so with that, the whole house of cards collapses from a scientific point of view. It's different from a political point of view, and we can talk about that a bit more. But because, of course, one of the things that's happened is that politicians and many people have built their careers around the deception. And for example, if you think about Obama with the, I think it was $627 billion that he built into his budget for cap and trade income, completely unnecessary because CO2 isn't a problem. And so, as I said, the science has collapsed completely. And what is amazing to me is that these people aren't being prosecuted.
And you know, it's important for us to point out, Dr. Ball, that none of us is saying let's not deal with pollution. I don't think I don't want pollution. My neighbors don't want pollution.
Exactly. But that was this is another part of the deception, because one of the ploys to silence people, and they took the moral high ground on the environmental issue, not just them, but the extreme environmentalists, that only they care about the environment, the rest of us don't. But when they moved to make CO2 a pollutant, and the Environmental Protection Agency actually got the ruling from the Supreme Court that it was a toxic substance and therefore they had control over it. I mean, CO2 is not a pollutant. It's for plants and animal life on the planet. It's the most important gas there is. But by labeling it a pollutant, of course, it then allowed them to say, well, anybody like myself who was saying, but look, the science doesn't work. Oh, well, he doesn't care about the environment. He doesn't care about the future or the children or anything else. So that was another part of the strategy of maintaining the facade.
Where did they go wrong? At what point did they just not did they just not realize that we were going to catch on eventually?
Well, I think that it's amazing that the length of time that they were able to keep this going. And by the way, I knew 30 years ago that there was something seriously wrong, and that there was somebody cooking the book somewhere.
Sure. And have their cards all fallen yet?
I think so. From a science point of view, there's no question the cards have fallen. But to go back to your question about where did they go wrong, they went wrong when they put out a scientific hypothesis, which came to be known as the anthropogenic global warming hypothesis. And that was the argument that CO2 is a greenhouse gas. And CO2, if CO2 increases, the temperature goes up, and CO2 will increase because of human activity, and therefore there will be global warming unless we stop doing what we're doing. That hypothesis, unlike any other scientific hypothesis, which would get challenged, was silenced. In other words, they thwarted the scientific method. And so people like myself or Richard Lindzen at MIT, Fred Singer, immediately the personal attacks, the marginalizing, because we were trying to do what all scientists should do. And because it was amusing to myself and others when we were called climate skeptics, because scientists should be skeptics. But what they were doing was blocking the normal scientific method of testing the hypothesis. Well, of course, what happened was, even though they controlled it through the IPCC, through the various government weather offices and the World Meteorological Organization and the data, The research continued. Now it was very difficult because all of government money and funding was going into proving the hypothesis, when the proper scientific method, as Karl Popper said, is to disprove the hypothesis. And then gradually, as the evidence came forward, for example, one big one was they had the ice core record, the 420,000 year Antarctic ice core record, showing the temperature going up and down and the CO2 going up and down with it. And I remember when Jouzel came out with that in 1991, and he said, "Don't rush to judgment. You know, this is a very crude measure, and we're putting a 420,000 years on a graph that covers 4 inches of a page." Well, of course, it subsequently turned out that the fundamental assumption that an increase in CO2 would cause a temperature increase was defeated by that, because it showed that the temperature was increasing before the CO2. So gradually, despite all of their attempts to block and cover, the science just kept creeping through. And then, of course, the final blow. And of course, there's people out there now still trying to defend the science and still trying to say, oh, no, they're covering up. But the final blow was that somebody within the climatic research unit at East Anglia obviously had a conscience and said, look, I've got to let the world know what these people are doing. And, of course, the emails were leaked. And that was really the pivotal point of the whole thing.
Tim, I'm not a climatologist, and yep, I could tell them all that this planet goes through cycles. It has gone through cycles. It will go through cycles. Heck, even before we had cars and factories on this planet, we had higher CO2 levels.
Well, exactly. And of course, one of the problems, George, is that it's not just being a climatologist, it's being a scientist in the Western world. The fundamental philosophy of Western science is around something called uniformitarianism, and if that sounds like a religion, it effectively is. But what it means is that, and it comes out of Charles Lyell, who was the geologist who Darwin based his work on, and Darwin needed a much older world. But uniformitarianism is the concept that change is very gradual over long periods of time. But unfortunately, that is absolutely wrong. Change, dramatic change, is going on all the time, and as you mentioned, it's cyclical. And again, to just put that in some perspective for you, George, in 1990 there was a conference in Warsaw, Poland, and the world climatologies or science climate people split down the middle. The Soviets, as they were then, and the Eastern scientists were saying, no, there are cycles. There are cycles to the sun. There are cycles in the ocean currents, but they all interlink with each other, and trying to sort out one cycle from another is a complex problem. The other side, the Western side, the Britain and particularly the U.S., were arguing that there were no cycles, that weather was chaotic and therefore essentially unpredictable, and that was the whole chaos theory that was pushing at that time. I joked about it at the time and said that the weather forecasts are so bad, they better hope chaos theory is correct.